Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to NIIT Limited Q2 and FY 2026 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Thadani, Vice Chairman and Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Thadani.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to NIIT Limited Quarter 2 FY 2026 earnings call. I know it's a busy time of the year, and there are multiple companies that you are tracking, and for you to have decided to give your time to us and listen to us, we truly appreciate that, and I will therefore now straight away get into the meat of the call. We have the main agenda point is to talk about the Quarter 2 performance and the key developments. The second is also to talk about certain specific structuring actions that have been taken or reorganization actions that have been initiated during the quarter, and we will be talking about that. I have with me Mr. Pankaj Thapar, our CEO, as well as Mr. Sanjeev Bansal, our CFO, our management team, Kapil Saurabh, our Investor Relations, Mr. Sapnesh Lalla, our Non-Executive Director, our CHRO, Ms. Nita, as well as other directors on the call, as well as present with us here. Our purpose will be to give you a quick brief and then open the floor for questions and try to use the maximum time to answer your questions. While Pankaj will give you a detailed brief, let me just set the context. The context is, in simple terms, operating environment remains volatile with mixed or weak hiring across sectors and BFSI sectors. There are certain cuts in onboarding. There are elongated decisions at client end on training. Despite this backdrop, we have stayed the course on our planned acceleration in investments across platforms, products, people, partnerships, and brands, and to position NIIT for durable growth. Our order intake has strengthened for the second consecutive year. Pankaj will take us through our quarter. Sorry. And Pankaj will take us through that. We are seeing sustained consumption in knowledge segments as well as the demand from India enterprises. And overall, there has been a very decent revenue growth, YoY as well as QoQ. The only other thing I would like to mention is our revenue growth is on the upper end of the band in which we had guided at the end of last quarter. So Pankaj will take us through these details. I will not spend more time on that, other than the fact that iamneo, our new addition to the family, has also delivered a very strong first full quarter as a part of NIIT. And as I mentioned, NIIT has launched a scheme of amalgamation for merging RPS Consulting and IFEI into NIIT Limited, which is going to take about 8-12 months to conclude. And that will have an impact on the simplified, more agile organizations, which should help us address the needs of our customers better. So I'll hand over to Pankaj to walk us through the quarter as well as take us through the details of some of these activities, after which we will open the floor for questions. Over to you, Pankaj.
Thank you, Vijay, and good afternoon, everyone. I'll read out the Q2 results. Like Vijay said, this is a brief update, and we will then open up for questions. I will also ask Sanjeev to step in where needed and read out the results. The order intake for Q2 ended with 1,454 million, which was up 14% year-on-year and 37% quarter-on-quarter. As Vijay said, we delivered results at the top end of our guidance that we gave at the end of Q1. Revenue for Q2 was 1049 million, which is up 16% YOY and 25% QOQ. This includes 111 million from IMEO. Ex IMEO, the organic revenue grew 3.5% YOY and 19% QOQ. As stated earlier, the business is in investment phase and we are investing in scaling to capitalize on our early mover AI advantage as well as to gain market share. In Q2, we continued planned investments in AI, platform, products and brand. These are strengthening competitiveness, which is visible in QI momentum despite the volatile environment. EBITDA came in marginally positive at rupees 13 million versus expectation of negative EBITDA at the start of the quarter. This is versus 21 million last year and negative 62 million last quarter. Depreciation was rupees 73 million versus 67 million last quarter and 57 million last year. Net other income was rupees 82 million versus 179 million last quarter, primarily comprising treasury income of rupees 85 million. The decline quarter on quarter primarily reflects mark-to-market loss on the fixed income investments due to volatility in interest rates. Profit after tax for the quarter was rupees 14 million during an EPS of rupees 0.5. Vijay also talked about IMEO having joined they spent their first full quarter and these are the results. So first full quarter of consolidation for IMEO. As you know, IMEO is an AI-powered deep skilling SaaS platform. The business achieved strong operating income and contract extensions with key clients during the quarter. We expect IMEO to catalyze growth, open higher edge channels and enhance our AI-first deep skilling stack, which includes offerings like coding labs, assessments, placement automation and talent acquisition. Now let's get into the operating details. In terms of order intake, the Q2 order intake was 1454 million last year and 1065 million last quarter. At an enterprise level, the order intake was 850 million. And at a consumer level, the order intake was 604 million. Like-for-like order intake was plus 3% year-on-year and 59% quarter-on-quarter, that's excluding IMEO. The momentum from accelerated sales marketing and broader go-to-market is visible in the order intake and pipeline. Banking is seeing impact of soft hiring while investment in broad-based customers set in the tech job, which goes growth for us. In terms of business mix, enterprise revenue was 703 million, which is up 10% year-on-year and 22% quarter-on-quarter. Consumer revenue was 347 million, which is up 29% year-on-year and 30% quarter-on-quarter. The mix is now 67-33 enterprise to consumer. Right? In terms of product mix, technology programs revenue 761 million, which is up 31% YOY and 30% QOQ. BFSI and others revenue 288 million, which is down 12% YOY and up 14% QOQ. The tech is to BFSI ratio is at 73:27 versus 54:36 last year. At this point, I'd like to call Sandeep in to talk us through balance sheet and cash flow. Sandeep, over to you.
Thank you, Pankaj, and good afternoon, everyone. On the balance sheet side, we are measuring the DSO days. We are having DSO days at 55 days versus 56 days last year, same quarter, and 53 days in the last quarter. QOQ increase is seasonal uptake aligned to the stronger QOQ revenue growth. CapEx is 69 million in Q2, consistent with the investment cycle which we have. Cash and cash equivalents are at 6846 million at the end of the quarter, which was 7115 million last quarter. So we are having the cash flow down primarily due to payment of dividend, which is 136 million, and investment in IMEO, 101 million during the quarter. Over to you, Peter.
Thank you, Sandeep. So let's get a little bit into the sectors commentary. So GSIs and GTCs were both reasonably strong for us in Q2. they have been investing in upskilling and reskilling their working production. The marginal increase in hiring added to the improved consumption resulting in a strong QOQ OI and revenue growth for us, even as discretionary spending continues to be constrained. The India enterprise segment grew on higher demand across automotive and other sectors. In BFSI, a risk of stance, elevated credit deposit ratios, emerging retail stress and lower attrition drove deferrals in hiring and onboarding. This remains the top sector for us to the last call. An update on the kind of investments and efforts. Go-to-market and brand. Expanded sales coverage across GCCs, banks, NBFCs, India Enterprise, and with IMEO added to the fold, universities and colleges, stepped up our brand visibility and influence-led campaigns. Platform and product. Revamped learning platform launched deep skilling in new age tech, integrated agentic AI to enhance learner outcomes and improve internal quality. Our solutions added generative and agentic AI support, including digital coaching for banks and enterprises, specific sector solutions for auto, telecom, consumer electronics. OEM partnerships, which are now 37, are strengthening our co-sell and early access to technology. IMEO, which was closed last quarter, brings an AI-first deep skilling platform into our way and opens the higher education channel. A strong strategic fit with clear synergy. This strengthens our reach into the universities and colleges. In terms of new customers, we've added 18 new logos in the quarter across BFSI and technology. Also across IMEO. Right? Let's look at the road ahead. We see a sustained trend of improved consumption of our differentiated and outcome-oriented products across the tech landscape, including working professionals and freshmen. Our investment thesis is playing out. Order intake, new logos, digital engagement, and pipeline are all trending positive. While we see sustained momentum in the tech and in the enterprise segment, we continue to see some hesitation in BFSI in the near term. Overall momentum has continued into Q3, and we expect stronger in Q3, in H2, in the second half. Right? So, in terms of guidance, for Q3 FY26, we stay with a guidance of growth at 15-18% quarter-on-quarter. Q3 margin, low single digits, given that we are still in the investment phase and we will continue to make those investments. FY26 full year revenue plus 15-20% year-on-year, subject to macro worsening in H2. We will reassess quarterly given the fluid environment. Medium to long term substantial opportunity. We remain fully committed to our strategic objectives. Our long-term potential remains high. We are a trusted brand with 200 plus active corporate customers and greater than 90% of our revenue coming from the people. We have a differentiated deep-skilling methodology delivered on a scalable AI-powered platform with proven outcomes. 37 OEM partnerships gives us early access to cutting-edge technology. A strong balance sheet enabling continued investment in innovation and growth. Focused entity, then we are more agile and positioned to compound in cycles. Vijay, back to you.
Alright. So, Pankaj has pointed out, I think we've had a very good quarter in terms of the returns that we made on investment. In the previous few quarters, as Pankaj has been briefing us, I think the increase, the larger sales force and the larger number of sales and marketing efforts on one hand, investments made on platform as well as in the product portfolio or offering portfolio that we have, and I think all this has resulted in a strong order intake. Maybe we should try to give you a color of the kind of work that we have been doing before we open it for questions. I'll actually take a pause and see if there are any questions at this point of time before we proceed further.
Speakers, should I go ahead with the questions?
Yeah, go ahead. And we can even summarize this later in the end.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Rahul Jain with Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. If I heard you right, you mentioned the organic growth of 3.5% for the quarter. It would be great if you could repeat that number. What was the precise IME contribution and organic growth?
Okay. It's saying what was the organic growth and what was the
Actually, at least to me, you are sounding pretty distant. I could not hear that number.
Speakers, can you come a little closer to the mic and speak? Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. We can't come closer to the mic. But let me try to be louder.
Right. Yeah,
let me try to be louder. So, Rahul, the NIO revenue for last quarter was 111. And
okay.
NIT organic without IME was 939. Right? So, NIT organic like-for-like growth was 3.5% YOY and 19% QOQ.
Got it.
So we have had, a rebound of from the loss of growth that we had last time. We had orders, but we could not execute. So this quarter we could execute some of those, and I think that's visible in the QOQ performance that you see.
Right. Also, during the quarter we made this announcement around the reorg. Simplifying the structure, the subsidiary structure, post some of these minority stake purchase. So, if you could articulate your thought process that what exactly you're trying to align, what could be the benefit for us in terms of cost or any other dynamics that you intend to do as part of this effort.
Okay. So, let me attend that. I think in the month of May, June, we announced that we are buying over the stake of ICICI Bank in the joint venture we had, which was NIIT Institute of Finance Banking Insurance Trading, NIFT Limited. That stake was bought. Because of strategic considerations, this joint venture has been on for about 8 years. There were certain regulatory calls that ICICI Bank had to take, and the joint venture's purpose was to make sure that we get the benefit of the know-how which ICICI Bank had in DFSI, and now that we were fully launched and our arrangements are working well, we felt that as a small entity to have one more entity under it may not be a most productive way of having it. Working together, and at that time ICICI also wanted to sell their stake in the joint venture because of certain of their issues, and that's why we first bought the equity out, after which IFBI became a 100% subsidiary. On the other hand, RPS Consulting, which we had acquired in 2021, had finished its earn-out period and all other considerations and was also a 100% subsidiary. Overall size of the company is 450 odd crores, and we felt that having two subsidiaries within it is not the most efficient way of working, and there is also an opportunity for the teams to work together for higher degree of agility, as well as working together, synergy and energy, agility. That is what we led us to this decision, and we have now applied for a merger of these three entities, which is beneficial to everyone, to our customers. They are now dealing with the company, each of the companies, the sum of the three companies is larger than any one of them, and therefore they're dealing with a stronger balance sheet, larger workforce, access to the full product and offerings line, as well as management team, and it's very good for each of the people who are engaged in it, because they all are part of the overall NIT system. It's very good for NIT because NIT size increases. It's good for shareholders because simplicity of operation and agility will only contribute to faster growth. And it creates clarity and direction in the organization. I think these are some of the many benefits that we see, and that's how we are going ahead. The team has been filed.
Yeah, Kai,
you had a follow-up question.
No, sure. I was just saying, is there also any cost saving? And also there was one exceptional item of 23.8 million. Is it related to this exercise, or if not, then why? Thanks.
No. I think those are two different issues altogether. So first of all, there will be cost saving. I mean, there is, however small or large that might be, there is a cost of running a company and having multiple KMPs and stuff like that. So all that will, I think, get heavily simplified. There is also money. There are intercompany transactions, so therefore money gets locked in TDSs and stuff like that, which will all get simplified. And I don't think there is any cost other than the cost of going through the exercise, which is built into this. The special exceptional part that you are talking about is actually relating to, if I'm not mistaken, Sanjeev Bansal is here, he'll clarify again, is relating to a severance cost of one of the step-down subsidiaries in China, which the center was closed, and that was according to the arrangement. And to that extent, I think there was a severance cost charge which was taken below the line, as per the law of the land.
Got it. And just one bit on the business side of it. Is there any newer initiative from a segment that we want to get into? I'm more trying to understand from a manufacturing side opportunities as well, because that is where the more jobs are getting created versus more reliant on the services side. So are there initiatives on those side? Thank you.
I think Pankaj has some grand plans. He will share some of those.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, Rahul, for the question. So we do have plans. So like I mentioned in the briefing, we did see new customers from the India enterprise segment, which includes manufacturing companies, automobile, and other manufacturing companies. So we are seeing opportunities there. Besides that, we are also seeing opportunities in the EV space, and we are gearing up to address that opportunity as well. We have recently strengthened our team and capability for that space, and over the next half of the year, we will be approaching the EV space with more focus from both product and sales point of view. We are also focused on cyber security, which is as data centers are proliferating because of AI, we are seeing a lot of opportunity for cyber security as well in the market, and we are refocusing on that space and building capabilities there. So these are the new segments that we are going to approach over the next half of the year and further after that.
Sure. That's it from my side. I'll come fall back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Faisal Hawa with HG Hawa. Please go ahead.
Are we doing any progress on creating self-employment opportunities for most people who are in the software and programming industry, as a lot of this freelancing could also take place? And are we thinking in terms of those opportunities also? And can you tell us as to how this overall learning software over YouTube or AI will actually affect our business, and can we have some kind of a collaboration where we teach the software professionals higher kind of software which just now most people are not trained for? And how is our advertising campaign that we initiated on YouTube doing? Do we have any traction because of that?
You asked many questions in one. So,
Rephrase this question. First of all, retraining people to become self-sufficient in software.
Yeah, or whatever you are doing to upskill, reskill in software. Yeah. Software profession.
Yeah. Second one, how is AI impacting the whole training area? And third,
The second was, how is this new acquisition, your AI-powered platform, what is its role, its own role, first of all, what does it do, and are there possibilities of working together and creating a larger opportunity? Did I understand you right?
Yes, sir.
Alright, cool. Go ahead.
And the third one?
The voice is very muffled. It could be because three people are sitting in the same room. So it's becoming very difficult to understand the answers.
Okay. So, no, I don't think it is a problem of the... There is some problem with this transmission system or wherever.
Yes, sir, because the moderator's voice is coming extremely clear.
Yes, because moderator is not sitting in the room. He is sitting in his center. So the problem is between us and his center.
We will try to make the best of the situation.
So tell me one thing. Are you able to hear me well?
I can hear you, but it is extremely difficult to really understand or even hear, but we will try to make the best of the situation, sir.
Okay.
Please answer.
So let me go ahead and try to answer. I'll try to speak a little louder and slower maybe, if that helps. So your first question was on retraining working professionals. So there are two ways that we are able to approach that. One is if a corporate or an enterprise wants to retrain its workforce, right? So that is approached through our enterprise business. And we have seen some of those opportunities with large GSIs coming to us for retraining, reskilling their workforce. And we have serviced those opportunities both in Q1 and Q2. The other side is to the consumer business, where people want to retrain themselves, right? So there, we offer skill-specific programs. So you could do a program on Python coding or machine learning, data science, right? So these are skills that are in demand right now, and you could continue yourself using our program and understand how to become a valued person in the data science field or the machine learning field or AI related field, and then either get self-employed or work with a corporate from there. Right? So that is how we are addressing the opportunities of reskilling in the current environment. Your second question, which is, were you trying to say something first? Okay, I'll answer the second question, the first part of the second question, which is about what does our acquisition of the AI-powered SaaS platform do. So they work with both universities, colleges, and enterprises. The bulk of their business is to help computer science engineers to become better coders, right? And by providing an environment for doing a lot of coding practice, which is then evaluated by an AI system, which gives them feedback and helps them become better at their craft, right? And the same service from a different angle is used by enterprises to evaluate people that they want to hire or to train the people that they have recently hired, right? So this is their core offering. In terms of synergy, definitely it creates opportunities for us. We have our direct-to-consumer business, which addresses a similar or overlapping customer base as the acquisition has, right? So there's an opportunity to send more services to the same customer base. And of course, we have a large enterprise presence, and it is an opportunity for and Neo to sell their services to our enterprise base. So in both of those directions, there is a lot of opportunity for synergy that could get unlocked over the next few quarters with the acquisition. And your third question was on YouTube campaigns. So actually in the last quarter, we did have a YouTube campaign we launched for GNIIT program, which is our flagship training program in our direct-to-consumer space. And we saw a lot of success with that marketing initiative. We had views in the millions within the first few days of launching those campaigns on both YouTube and Instagram, which led to a surge in traffic to our website and consequently into conversions as well. So we did see a positive impact, and we are following through on that. In terms of our own YouTube channel, in the last 6 months we've been focusing on that, and in the last quarter, for the first time we crossed 50,000 subscribers. It's a very small number still, but it's a focused effort on our YouTube channel as well. I hope that answers your question, sir.
One more thing is that can you give a figure as to the top 5 courses that contribute to our revenue? Have you taken any price increases in the last financial year in those top 5 courses? That is one. And secondly, sir, can you also enumerate as to how many new courses we have added in the last financial years to our total offering? And third is, sir, we have a large cash balance or investments in our balance sheet. Do we propose to use it for any kind of buybacks or a large dividend?
Okay, since your questions come in now half a dozen each time, let me answer the last one, which I know. The money that we have in the in our books, it is a stated policy that we have kept it for growth, both organic and inorganic. You saw we recently made an acquisition, and that acquisition has a run-out structure. And from that, we have paid for part of that acquisition during last quarter also. Even though the acquisition is small compared to what we normally prefer, we have an active pipeline of inorganic opportunities, and as and when they materialize, we will be sharing that with you. As far as distribution of that amount to the shareholders, either as a buyback or a dividend, I think it's a proposal that is something that we can talk to our board as we go along. But from the initial stated policy, the reason to keep that money in the books was to invest it in growth, given the strong opportunities that the company has. And the fact is that that opportunity is materializing also, as you can see from this quarter's results. The other two parts, I'll ask for questions.
Yeah, your other question was, which are the best-selling programs and what we've launched in the last year. So in terms of best-selling programs, right now, they would be data science, machine learning, digital marketing, and GNIIT, right? And in terms of what we launched, we relaunched GNIIT within the last year, and we also upgraded all of these programs. So data science has been a best-selling program for the last 3 years, maybe. but every year we upgrade it with whatever new comes out from a technology perspective, and we update the program with the tool of digital marketing and machine learning as well. And we are launching AI-related programs also in the near future. We currently have machine learning programs, but we are launching something that is very directly AI as well.
Sir, can you give us a figure whether we have taken any price increases on any of our courses in the last financial year?
Whether we've taken price increases
in any of the courses? No, I think these are different courses, so I don't think there is a standard escalation thing. I have a feeling you're coming from a past when the same course would be valid for a few years, so every year we would look at whether there is an escalation. Nowadays the shelf life of a course is much shorter, and to that extent I think how you recollect, you repackage them, you combine them, because the needs of the industry are also changing. So I don't think there is any, stated policy of escalation or reschedulement of fee.
Yeah, in fact, if you look at how CNIIT is, it is built in multiple stacks, and you can do one stack or more stacks and combine them in whichever way you want to as a learner. And therefore, it is more about what you are going to learn, when and how, than just the fee part of it.
Okay, thank you very much, sir. I'll come back into the queue for more questions.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Aman Prakash, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for giving me the opportunity. I just wanted to ask, like, as a tech participant, I see a tremendous, you know, shortage of talent in the AI industry in India. So what are the steps like NIIT has already taken, or in which direction can this go? Because this will remain there for a while, right? So I just wanted to know, like, any scope for any B2B partnerships with any of the existing, like, companies that are there in the market. Thanks.
So this is exactly what we do. Sorry, I didn't get your name. Aman, this is exactly what your business addresses, the shortage of tech talent in the country. So we have tied up with more than 200 organizations actively where our students get placed and enter the tech industry. So our main proposition is to help students bridge the gap between formal education and what the industry needs. And that is what we provide. And we also help them get placed, actively working with companies to help them recruit students from our courses.
Mr. Prakash, please go ahead with the question.
Yeah, that was the only question that I had. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for that.
Next question comes from the line of Ganesh Shetty, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, I appreciate your efforts in tough macroeconomy condition. Sir, I just have one suggestion or recommendation that whether we are approaching any PSU companies or defense companies where the Boeing is very good, and plus they need, I think, a lot of training in terms of AI and other tech-related skills. So are we approaching the PSU or government organizations for our training consumption?
If your question is, are we approaching PSUs and government organizations for our training offering?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. We do work with select PSUs. We typically do not have any government customers, and we prefer that we deal with the private sector and large PSUs where the selection as well as purchase as well as payment processes match the agility and transparency that the private sector practices. And this, Ganeshji, you are familiar, you are a very old investor of NIIT. You know the difficulties that we have had in collecting our receivables. The good news is that we collected every penny. But bad news is it took us many, many years and many, many bucket loads of blood to get that out.
Yeah, okay, sir. I can understand that. So my second question is regarding our GNIIT offering. After, you know, taking over IMU, which is mostly catering into student community and universities, is there any improvement in our sales uptick as far as GNIIT is concerned? They just want some clarification on that.
So yes, there is an uptick of interest in GNIIT students. Are we happy with where we are? No, we definitely want to grow faster. But we are seeing an increase in interest and an increase in registrations over the last 6 months in that space.
Yes, sir. My third question is regarding our other income, which is considerably low during this quarter. It is due to some mark-to-market losses. Do you expect some improvement in the quarters to come? Or is there anything else to add to this?
I think this is market-driven. You understand banking and interest rates much better than any one of us do. We think there should be a correction in this quarter itself, in the quarter three itself.
Yeah.
Maybe Sanjay, you have something more to say.
Yeah, so in any case, this is an accounting entry which is based on the mark-to-market impact on the mutual fund investment which has been made. So it is actually an emotional impact based on the fair valuation of mark-to-market. So it will, in any case, get reversed because in the past also we had some gain also in the future. Similarly, in future, when there is a reverse trend, then this gain will also gain coming.
In any case, as you know, no cash change hands,
okay.
No money change hands. This is a book entry and it's just a technical entry.
Yeah.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much for the answers and I wish you all the best for the future part. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question comes on the line of Harsh Yadav with Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'm looking for more clarity on the growth outlook for FY26. Last quarter you guided 15 to 20% overall and 5 to 10% organic growth for FY26. I may have missed it in the opening remarks.
Yeah,
I'll read it out again just to be sure that we are saying the right thing. So our guidance for Q3 is 15 to 18% growth, QOQ growth.
YOY
growth. And the Q3 margin will remain low single digit. For FY26, the YOY guidance is 15 to 20%. Right? And we will of course reassess again at the end of Q3. But that is the number that we are saying.
Alright, thank you. That
is. So in other words, the 15 to 20% guidance that you heard for the year was correct. We said that at the end of last quarter. We are continuing to say it at the end of this quarter.
Thank you.
Okay.
A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Faisal Hawa with HG Hawa. Please go ahead.
Is there any thought within the company to take up very high-end courses which may cost very heavily, but these are skills which are very rare and where the demand is very high? Something like designing the cabs of semiconductors, where you could have some tie-ups with Taiwanese companies, or with cybersecurity, where we could have tie-ups with companies like Palo Alto, who could do a lot of outsourcing from India. And how many GCCs are we talking to at this point of time for you know, training their employees or supplying them with some employees?
Okay, so more questions.
Or even something to do with logistics. So at least the ticket size of our courses are much higher.
Are much higher. So, okay. So, I think then I understood it the other way around. You are saying that the ticket size of our courses are high. Are we looking at lower end?
No.
What you meant was, are we looking at higher than current courses, which are higher end and get better, you get a better fee out of that?
Yes, much higher fee. Much higher fees, but they are connected to courses which are where the demand is very high, yet no one is teaching these skills. Two or three things which come to my mind immediately is, you know, designing fabs of semiconductors, or even, you know, cyber security for mobile phones, for enterprises, where almost no one is teaching it, and whoever is teaching it, also the courses are very much outdated.
I got your, and the second question that you had was sectors outside of IT, or maybe that's the same context in which we're looking at semiconductors, correct? And then the third and the fourth question you had was, okay, let's stay with these two, if you remember your next one. So, go ahead, Pankaj.
So, we are looking and evaluating courses all the time, right? And right now, we are evaluating and launching courses in the AI space, which will be at the higher end. So it's like, I mean, we would do these as a stack, where you can start at the lower end, and there's an option to go very specialized and higher end. But the specific examples you gave, they are niche opportunities, and not really high in volume. Having said this, there are still opportunities that are worth looking at. Fab kind of design courses would also involve them. So those are things we are evaluating, but we don't have any that we are launching in the near future. But we are constantly evaluating those. In one of our subsidiaries, RPS, we do a lot of the higher end courses from OEMs.
Yeah.
Right? So there are courses offered by OEM partners, which are available for individuals to do as well. And the schedule is on the RPS website. So anybody can sign up and attend a course from there. Those are higher end and typically higher average than the D2C courses that we sell on the NIIT website.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Once again, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question.
If there are no further questions,
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, we have reached to the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you very much. I think we had a very active discussion and engaging discussion. As usual, your questions raise new opportunities and new options in our mind, and we respect each one of the questions that you ask, as well as some mind-opening questions. On behalf of all of us, we thank you for your participation, your continued questioning us, and your guidance, which helps us definitely chart out a clearer strategy for the future. So with this, in this busy result season. Thank you very much once again for joining us. We appreciate every minute that you spent with us. Thank you, and over to the operator.
Thank you. On behalf of NIIT Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.